أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون. A few pieces from the Maqtal, inshallah, we will recite today together. Of course, we couldn't go through all the Maqtal because it would be very long. So I start from the night when Umar ibn Sa'd wanted to launch the attack, and just mention bits and pieces from what happened until the end of the day of Ashura. This is from the book Al-Irshad, which is the most authentic Maqtal as far as I know. Of course, it's not a book specific for Maqtal. It is about the life of A'imma alayhim as-salam, written by Shaykh Al-Mufid rahmatullah alayh. And mainly he has used Maqtal for Abu Makhnaf, which is very authentic. And although some of the accounts here differ a little bit, differs slightly from what is in other Maqtals, but when there is a difference, I think this Maqtal of Irshad is the most authentic and most reliable one. Now, I start from when Umar ibn Sa'd prepared to battle with Al-Husayn, peace be on him, on the night of Thursday, 9th of the month of Muharram, which according to Shaykh al-Mufid was the ninth day, so Friday was Ashura. In the meantime, Shamr went out and stood in front of the followers of Hussein, peace be on him. "Where are my sister's sons?" he demanded. "Abbas, Ja'far, Abdullah and Uthman, sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib from Ummul Banin, came forward." Because Ummul Banin was from the same tribe as Shamr was, so he wanted to give them immunity in war. They went forward. "What do you want?" they asked. "Sons of my sister, you are guaranteed security," he said. "God curse you and curse the security which you offer without offering it to the son of the Prophet," the young men replied. "Cavalry of God, mount and announce the news of heaven." Umar ibn Sa'd called out. The people mounted. Call out. So they refused, Abbas and his brothers refused that immunity, and Umar ibn Sa'd called out for war in this sentence: "Ya Jundallah, Irkabi wa bil Jannati Abshari," O the cavalry of God, mount and have the good news of heaven. The people mounted and he approached the supporters of Hussein after the afternoon prayer. Meanwhile, Hussein, peace be on him, was sitting in front of his tent, dozing with his head on his knees. His sister heard the clamor for the enemy's ranks coming near. She came up to him and said, "My brother, don't you hear the sounds which are getting nearer? I have just seen the Prophet of God, may God bless him, in my sleep," said Hussein, peace be on him, as he raised his head. "He said to me, 'You are coming to us.' His sister struck at her face and cried out in grief. 'You have no reason to lament, sister,' Hussein, peace be on him, said. 'Be quiet, may God have mercy on you.' Then he turned to Abbas, 'Brother, the enemy have come, so get ready. But first, Abbas, you yourself ride out to meet them, to talk to them about what they have in mind and what appears appropriate to them, and to ask about what has brought them against us. Abbas went towards them with about 20 horsemen, among whom was Zuhayr ibn al-Qayn. "How do you see the situation?" he asked. "What do you want?" "The command of the governor has arrived," the army of the enemy replied. "The command of the governor has arrived that we should offer you the opportunity of submitting to his authority. Otherwise we must attack you," they answered. "Do not hurry until I have gone back to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and told him what you have said," Abbas requested. They stopped where they were and told him, "Go to him and inform him and tell us what he says to you." Abbas went galloping back to al-Hussein, peace be on him, to give him the information. While his companions remained exchanging words with the enemy, trying to test them and dissuade them from fighting against Hussein, peace be on him, because they were all friends after all. I mean, the people who were in the junta of Ubaydullah were friends of Zuhair and Habib and others. So they tried to dissuade them. Abbas told Hussein what the enemy had said. Hussein replied, "Go back to them. If you can delay them until the morning and persuade them to keep from us during the evening, then perhaps we may be able to pray to our Lord during the night to call upon him and seek his forgiveness. He knows that I have always loved his prayer, the recitation of his book, and making many invocations to him seeking his forgiveness." Abbas went back to the people and returned, being with them. After being with them, accompanied by a messenger on behalf of Umar ibn Sa'd, who said, "We will grant you a day until tomorrow. Then if you surrender, we will send you to our governor, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. But if you refuse, we will not leave you any longer." After he departed towards the evening, Hussein gathered his followers around him. This is the very famous sermon on the night of Ashura. Ali ibn al-Hussein, Zain al-Abidin, reported, "I went near to hear what he would say to them, even though at that time I was sick. I heard my father said to his followers, 'I glorify God with the most perfect glorification, and I praise him in happiness and misfortune. O God, I praise you for blessing us with prophethood, teaching us the Quran, and making us understand the religion. You have given us hearing, sight and hearts, and have made us among those who give thanks to you. I know of no followers more loyal and more virtuous than my followers, nor of any house more pious and more close-knit than my own house. May God reward you well on my behalf. Indeed, I do not think that there will be any further days left to us by these people. I permit you to leave me. All of you go away with the absolution of your oath to follow me, for there will be no further obligation on you from me. This is a night whose darkness will give cover to you. Use it as a camel, ride away and go." His brothers and sons, the sons of his sisters and the sons of Abdullah ibn Ja'far said, these are the sons of Zainab, of course, "We will not leave you to make ourselves continue living after you. God will never see us do such a thing." Abbas, peace be on him, was the first of them to make this declaration. Then the whole group followed him, all declaring the same things. "Sons of Aqil," said al-Hussein, "enough of your family has been killed," because their father had been killed, of course. "So go away as I have permitted you." They replied, "Glory be to God. What would the people say? They would say that we deserted our sheikh, our lord, the sons of our uncle, who was the best of uncles, that we had not shot arrows alongside them, we had not thrust spears alongside them, we had not struck swords alongside them at such an at such an accusation, we do not know what we would do. No, by God, we will not do such a thing. Rather, we will ransom you with our lives, property and families. We will fight for you until we reach your destination. May God make life abominable for us after your death. Then Muslim ibn Aus arose and spoke, "Could we leave you alone? How should we excuse ourselves before God concerning the performance of our duty to you? By God, I will stab them with my spear until it breaks. I will strike them with my sword as long as the hilt is in my hand. If I have no weapon left to fight them with, I will throw stones at them. By God, we will never leave you until God knows that we have preserved through you the company of his prophet in his absence. If I knew that I would die and then be revived and then burnt and then revived and then scattered and that would be done to me 70 times, I would never leave you until I met my death fighting on your behalf. So how could I do it when there can only be one death, which is a great blessing, which can never be rejected?" Zuhayr ibn al-Qin, may God have mercy on him, spoke, "By God, I would prefer to be killed and then recalled to life, and then be killed 1,000 times in this manner, and that in this way God the Mighty and Exalted should protect your life and the lives of these young men of your house." As I said, these Ashab did not let the household of Hussein to fight and to get hurt until they were alive. All his followers spoke in similar vein, one after the other. Hussein, peace be on him, called on God to reward them well, and then went back to his tent. Ali ibn Hussein, peace be on them, reports again, "I was sitting on that evening before the morning of the day in which my father was killed. With me was my own Zainab, who was nursing me when my father left to go to his tent. With him was Juwayn, the Mawla of Abu Dharr al-Ghaffari, who was preparing his sword and putting it right. My father started to recite, 'O world, shame on you as a friend, at the day's dawning and the sun's setting. How many a companion or seeker will be a corpse, and world will not be satisfied with any substitute. The matter will rest with the Mighty One, and every living creature will have to journey along my path.'" This is the famous poetry, "Yadah uffin laka min halili, kam laka bil ashraq wal asiri min sahiban wa taliban qatili, wa dahru la yaqna'u bil badili." He repeated it twice or three times. I understood it and realized what he meant. Tears choked me and I pushed them back. I kept silent and knew that tribulation had come upon us. As for my aunt, she heard what I heard, but she is a woman and weakness and grief are part of the qualities of her. She could not control herself. She jumped up, tearing at her clothes and sighing, and went to him. 'Then I will lose a brother,' Zainab said to him. 'Would that death deprive me of life today? For my mother Fatima is dead, and my father Ali and my brother Al-Hassan, peace be on them, are all dead today for me.' 'O sister,' Hussein said to her as he looked at her with his eyes full of tears, 'preserve my sister, have forbearance. If the sand grows are left at night, they will sleep.'" This is the famous word said by Hussein, "لو ترك القطا قطا لنام," because Zainab was insisting that let's go back. So he says, if we were left to go back, we would have done so. Now Zainab says, "Oh my grief, your life will be violently wrenched from you, and that is more wounding to my heart and harsher to my soul," she lamented. And then she struck at her face. She bent down to the hem of her garment and began to tear it. Then she fell down in a faint. Hussein, peace be on him, got up and bathed her face with water. Then he said to her, "Sister, fear God and take comfort in the consolation of God. Know that the people on the earth will die, and the inhabitants of heaven will not continue to exist forever. For everything will be destroyed except the face of God who created creation by His power. He sends forth creatures and He causes them to return to Him. He is unique and alone. My grandfather was better than me. My father was better than me. And my mother was better than me. I and every Muslim have an ideal model in the apostle of God. May God bless him and his family. By this and the life he tried to console her. And he said, "Sister, I swear to you, and I always keep my oaths, that you must not tear your clothes, nor scratch your face, nor cry out with grief and loss when I am destroyed." Then he brought her and made her sit with me. He went out to his followers and ordered them to bring their tents much closer together, so that the tent pegs came within the area of each other's tents, and so that if they remained among their tents, the enemy could only approach them from one side, for there would be tents behind them and to their right and left. Thus, the tents completely surrounded them except for the one way which the enemy could come against them. This is why they couldn't attack them from the back on the day of Ashura. After that, he, peace on him, returned to his place and spent the whole night in performing the prayer, in calling on God's forgiveness and in making invocations. In the same way his followers performed the prayer, made invocations and sought God's forgiveness. Abdul-Hak ibn Abdullah reported, "A contingent of Umar ibn Sa'd continually passed us, keeping watch over us, while Hussein himself recited, 'Let not those who disbelieve think that our giving them a delay is better for their souls. We give them a delay only that they might increase their wickedness. They shall have a disgraceful punishment. God does not leave the believers in the situation you are in until He has made the evil distinct from the evil distinct from the good. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ." Saying that this is a test, that the tayyib is being distinguished from khabith. In the morning, Hussein, peace be on him, mobilized his followers after the morning prayer. He had with him 32 horsemen and 40 foot soldiers, and hence the number 72. He put Zuhayr ibn al-Qin in charge of his right wing, and Habib ibn Mazahir in charge of his left wing, and he gave his standard to his brother Abbas. They positioned themselves with a tent at the rear. He ordered the firewood and cane which was behind the tents to be left in a ditch which had been dug there, and to be set on fire, fearing that they would attack them from the rear. Umar ibn Sa'd began the morning of that day, it was Friday or Saturday, as some say, by mobilizing his followers. He went out with the men with him towards Hussein, peace be on him. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj was in command of his right wing, and he had written a letter to Hussein, of course. Shamr ibn al-Jawshan of the left wing, or Urwat ibn Qais, and he had also wrote a letter to Hussein, alayhi salam, was in command of the cavalry. Shabath ibn Rab'i, another one who wrote the letter, of the foot soldiers. He gave his standard to Duraid, his retainer. Ali ibn Hussein Zain al-Abidin, peace be on them, reported, "When the cavalry began to approach Hussein, he raised his hands and said, 'O God, it is you in whom I trust amid all grief. You are my hope amid all hardship. You are my trust and provision in everything that happens to me. No matter how much the heart may seem to weaken in it, trickery may seem to diminish my hope in it, the friend may seem to desert me in it, and the enemy may seem to rejoice in it, it comes upon me through you, and when I complain to you of it, it is because of my desire for you and you alone. You have comforted me in everything and have revealed its significance to me. You are the master of all grace, the possessor of all goodness, and the ultimate resort of all desire." When the enemy began to move around the tent of Hussein, peace be on him, they saw the ditch behind and the fire burning, the firewood and cane which had been thrown in it. At this, Shamr ibn al-Jawshan called out at the top of his voice, "Hussein, are you hurrying towards the fire of hell before the day of judgment? "Who is that?" asked Hussein, peace be on him, because Hussein and Shem knew each other. Of course, Shem was a commander in the army of Amirul Mu'mineen on the day of Safin, so they very well knew each other. "Who's that?" asked Hussein, peace be on him. "It sounds like Shemr ibn Zaljoushan." "Yes, it is," they told him. He said, "You are more worthy to be burnt by that," he retorted. Muslim ibn Awsajah wanted to shoot an arrow at him, but Hussein, peace be on him, stopped him from doing that. "Let me shoot at him," he asked, "for he is a wicked sinner, one of the enemies of God and the great tyrants. Now God has made it possible to kill him." "Do not shoot at him," ordered Hussein, peace be on him, "for I am not willing to begin the fighting against them." Then Hussein called for his mount and mounted it. He called out at the top of his voice, "O people of Iraq," and most of them began to listen to him. "People, listen to my words and do not hurry to attack me, so that I may remind you of the duties you have towards me, and so that by telling you the true circumstances, I may free myself from any blame in your attacking me. If you give me justice, you will become happier through that. If you do not give me justice of your own accord, then agree upon your affairs and فَأَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَكُمْ وَشُرَكَاءَكُمْ ثُمَّ اغْضُوا إِلَيَّ وَلَا تُنْظِرُونَ. Let not your affair be in darkness to you, then carry out against me, and do not reflect a moment. Indeed, my guardian is God, who created the book. He takes care of the writers. Then he praised and glorified God, and mentioned what God is entitled to. He called for blessing on the Prophet, may God bless him and his family, and on the angels and other prophets. No speaker has ever been heard before or after him more eloquent in his speech than he was. He continued, trace back my lineage and consider who I am. Then look back at yourselves and remonstrate with yourselves. Consider whether it is right for you to kill me and to violate the honor of my womenfolk. Am I not the son of the daughter of your prophet, of his testamentary trustee, Wasi, and his cousin, the first of believers in God, and the man who first believed in what his apostle brought from his Lord? Was not Hamza, the Lord of the martyrs, my uncle? Was not Ja'far, the one who flies in heaven, my uncle? Have you not heard the words of the apostle of God, may God bless him, concerning myself and my brother? These are the two laws of the youth of the inhabitants of heavens. Whether you believe what I am saying, and it is the truth, for by God I have never told a lie since I learned that God hated people who lie, or whether you regard me as a liar, there are among you those who, if you ask them, would tell you. Ask Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari, ask Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'idi, Zayd ibn Arqam, and Anas ibn Malik to tell you that they heard these words from the Apostle of God. Concerning myself and my brother, is there not sufficient in this to prevent you shedding my blood? Shemr interrupted him, if I understand what you are saying, then I only worship God on the edge, A'budullah ala harfin. I think that you worship God on 70 edges, said Habib ibn Mazahir, for I testify that you are right, you do not understand what he is saying, for God has impressed ignorance upon your heart. If you are in any doubt about this, Hussein, without caring about Shemr, continued, you are in doubt that I am the son of the daughter of your prophet. By God, there is no son of a prophet other than me among you and among the peoples from east to west. Shame on you. Are you seeking retribution from me for one of your dead whom I have killed, or for property of yours which I expropriated, or for a wound which I have inflicted? They did not say anything to him. Then he called Shams ibn Rab'i, Hajjar ibn Abjar, Qais ibn Ash'as, Zayd ibn Harith, didn't you write to me, the fruit has ripened, the dates have grown green, come to an army which has been gathered for you. We don't know what you are talking about, said Qais ibn Ash'as. Submit to the authority of your kinsmen, meaning Ubaydullah and Yazid. They have never treated you with anything but what you liked. By God, said Hussein, I will never give you my hand in humiliation, nor would I flee like a slave. Then he called out, O servants of God, I take refuge to my Lord from every haughty man who does not believe in the day of reckoning. He made his mount kneel and ordered Uqbat ibn Sam'an to tie its reins. The Kufans began to advance towards him. When Al-Hurr ibn Yazid perceived that the people were determined to fight Hussein, peace be on him, he went to Umar ibn Sa'd and said, Are you really going to fight this man? Yes, he replied, it will be a terrible battle, the least part of which will be heads falling and severed hands flying through the air. Haven't you any other way of getting what you want? Said Hur. If the matter rested with me, answered Umar ibn Sa'd, I would do anything else, but your governor has refused. Hur went and stood apart from the people. With him was a man from his tribe called Qurra ibn Qais. Qurra, have you watered your horse today? He asked. No. Don't you want to water it? Qurra reported later, I thought that he was going to leave the battle and he would want to be present and he did not want me to be present at it but was unwilling to sorry I thought that Hur was going to leave the battle and did not want to be present at it but was unwilling to be seen when he left. So I said, I have not watered it and I was going to water it. Then I left him where he was. By God, if he had told me what he was intending to do, I would have gone with him to Hussein, peace be on him. Hur began gradually to draw closer to Hussein. What do you want, Ibn Yazid? Asked Muhajir ibn Aws, who was further ahead in the army, but he did not answer. Instead, a great shudder came over him. Your behavior is suspicious, said Muhajir. By God, I have never seen you act like this before. If I was asked who was the bravest of the Kufan, I would not normally neglect to mention you. What is this I see in you today? By God, said Hur, I'm giving my soul the choice between heaven and the fire. By God, I will not choose anything before heaven, even though I am cut to pieces and burnt. With that, he whipped his horse and galloped over and joined Hussein, peace be on him. May I be your ransom, son of the Prophet of God, he said. I was your companion who stopped you from returning. I accompanied you along the road and made you stop in this place. But I did not think that the people would refuse to respond to you, to what you have offered them, and that they would ever come to this position with regards to you. By God, if I had known that they would finish up by doing what I am seeing to you, I would not have committed what I have committed against you. I repent to God for what I have done. Will you accept my repentance? Yes, replied Al-Hussein, peace be on him. God will forgive you. So get down. Hur replied, you will have no horseman better than me while I am on foot, nor while I am on foot any foot soldier, he said. I will continue fighting on foot to the bitter end. Well, I think this is a wrong translation. He said, you will not find a horseman better than me, and at the end you will find me on my foot anyway, so I'm going to die. Do so, replied Hussein, peace be on him. May God grant you mercy, what he has revealed to you, He advanced in front of Hussein, peace be on him, and called out, people of Kufa. Well, apparently what happened, Hur went to the camps and saw how thirsty those children were and how difficult was the situation in the opposite side, because he was in the lucky side. Water was flowing there, everything was in order. Now he has come to this side and he sees the scenes of children calling for water. So he could not control himself, just went to the army to tell them about the situation in this side. People of Kufa, your mothers will be deprived of their sons and tears will come to their eyes. Have you summoned this righteous man to come to you? Then when he has come to you, you have handed him over to his enemies. Did you claim that you would fight with your own lives for him? And then have you begun to attack him in order to kill him? You have laid hold of his life. You have seized his throat. You have encircled him on every side in order to prevent him returning to God's broad lands. He has come into your hands like a prisoner who no longer has the power to use his own life and cannot defend it against harm. You have prevented him, his woman and his womenfolk, and his children and his people from getting the water of the Euphrates, which Jews, Christians and Majus are drinking from it. And these are the holy family of the prophets. They are likely to die of thirst. How wickedly you have treated the offspring left by Muhammad, peace be on him. May God not give you water to drink on the day of thirst. Some of the foot soldiers attacked him by shooting arrows at him. He went and stood in front of Hussein, peace be on him. Umar ibn Sa'd called out, "Durayd, bring forward your standard." He brought forward the standard, and Umar put an arrow in his bow and let it fly. He said, "All of you should witness of who was the first to shoot." After the fight broke out, Hurr ibn Yazid attacked the followers of Umar ibn Sa'd, and he was reciting the words of Antara, "With my charger's neck and breast thrust forward, I will launch myself at them again and again until it is clothed in blood. I am this." Yazid ibn Sufyan from Banu Harith came forward to meet him. Soon Al-Hur killed him. In the meantime, Nafi ibn Hilal came forward declaring, "I am the son of Hilal. I believe in the religion of Ali." Muzahim ibn Hurayth came against him, crying, "I follow the religion of Uthman." "Rather you follow the religion of Shaitan," Nafi replied, and attacked and killed him. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj cried out. After many soldiers of Umar ibn Sa'd were killed, Amr ibn al-Hajjaj cried out, "You stupid fellows, don't you realize whom are you fighting against? These knights of the town are people who are seeking death. Don't let any of you go forward to fight them in single combat. They are only few and their time is running out. If you only threw stones at them, you would kill them eventually." "True, you have come to the right conclusion," Umar ibn Sa'd said to him. Then he sent a messenger to the commanders that none of their men should fight in single combat. Amr ibn al-Hajjaj and his men launched an attack against Hussein, peace be on him, from the direction of the Euphrates. They fought together fiercely for a time. Muslim ibn Awsajah was struck down. May God have mercy on him. But Amr and his men withdrew. When the dust settled, Hussein found Muslim stretched out dying. Hussein, peace be on him, walked towards him and he was on the point of death. "Muslim, may God have mercy on you," said Hussein. "Of them is he who has accomplished his vow, and of them is he who weighs. They have not changed at all." Habib ibn Mazahir approached and said, "Muslim, your death is hard for me to bear, but I bring you good news of heaven, where you are going." Muslim replied, "May God bring you good news too." But his voice was very weak. "Even if I knew that I would follow you at this very moment, I would still like you to appoint me to carry out everything which concerns you." Then the people came again against Hussein, peace be on him. Shamr ibn Zawjushan attacked with his left wing and thrust at Hussein's left wing, but they stood firm against him and forced him away. Hussein, peace be on him, and his followers were attacked on every side, but the followers of Hussein fought fiercely. Then their cavalry began to attack, and even though they were only 32 horsemen, they did not attack any side of the Kufan cavalry without putting it to flight. When Urwat ibn Qais saw that he was in command of the Kufan cavalry, he sent words to Umar ibn Sa'd, "Don't you see what my cavalry is receiving today from this small number of men? Send the foot soldiers and archers against them." He sent the archers against them. Hurribn Aziz's horse was lamed. He dismounted and began to shout, "You have lamed my horse, but I am the son of freedom and braver than a maimed lion." He struck out against them with his sword, but a great number came against him. Ayyub ibn Musarrah and another of the Kufan horsemen shared in killing him. The followers of Hussein continued to fight fiercely against the enemy until it was midday. When Hussein ibn Numair, he was in command of the archers, perceived the steadfastness of the followers of Hussein, peace be on him, he advanced against his supporters with 500 archers, so that they showered the followers of Hussein, peace be on him, with arrows. They continued shooting at them until they had lamed most of their horses and wounded some of their men. Then they moved against them and a fierce battle was fought between them for some time. Shamr ibn Zaljushan attacked them with his followers, but Zuhair ibn al-Qin with 10 of the followers of Hussein attacked and drove them away from the tents. Shamr ibn Zaljushan turned back against them, but some of his men were killed and the rest retreated to their positions. The number of killed was apparent among the followers of Hussein, peace be on him, because of the fewness of their number, while it was not so apparent among the followers of Umar ibn Sa'd, because of their great number. The battle continued to be fought fiercely and desperately. The number killed and wounded among the followers of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein continued to grow until the sun began to decline. Hussein and his companions prayed the prayer according to the rite of the prayer for fear. Hanzalat ibn Sa'd al-Shabami advanced in front of Hussein, peace be on him, and called out, "People of Kufa, I fear for you the same day that happened on the day of parties. I fear for you on the day of summoning. O people, do not kill Hussein, for God will destroy you with punishment. He who forges a lie will be disappointed." These are all verses of the Quran he recited for them. He advanced and fought until he was killed. May God have mercy on him. After that, Shawdab, retainer of Sharkar, went forward, greeting Abu Abdullah, and fought until he was killed. May God have mercy on him. Then came Abbas ibn Shamib al-Shakri. He greeted Hussein, peace be on him, and fought until he was killed. Each man of Hussein's followers continued to go forward and be killed until they only remained with Hussein, peace be on him, the members of his own house. As I said, they did not let the members of the house to go to fight until all of them were martyred. Then the first man from household of Hussein, his son, Ali ibn Hussein, peace be on them, whose mother was Layla, daughter of Abu Murrat ibn Urwa, was the next to advance. He was one of the most handsome men of the time. On that day, he was 19 years of age. He attacked the enemies, declaring, "I am Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali. By the house of God, we are those rightly endowed with the prophethood. By God, the son of a spurious man will not judge us. I will strike with my sword in defense of my father. I will strike with the blow of a Hashemi, a Qurashi." He did that several times, and the Kufans were afraid to kill him, because, as I said, he was the most similar person to the Prophet, peace be on him, and they knew that if they kill Ali Akbar, they have committed a great sin against the Prophet. Then Murrat ibn Munqadh al-Abdi saw him. He said, "May the felonies of the Arabs come on me if he gets past me doing the same as he has been doing, and if I do not deprive his mother of him." Ali ibn Hussein continued to attack the enemy as he had been doing, but then Murrat ibn Munqadh came against him and stabbed him. He was struck down and the enemy fell upon him, cutting him with their swords. Hussein, peace be on him, went out until he stood over him and said, "May God kill people who killed you. My son, how foolhardy they are against the merciful and in violating the sacredness of the family of the Prophet. May God bless him and his family." His eyes filled with tears and he said, "There will only be dust on the world after you." Zainab, the sister of Hussein, peace be on him, came hurrying out, crying, "My brother, my nephew." She came up and threw herself on her dead nephew. Hussein raised her head and then led her back to the tent. He told his young sons, "Carry your brother back." We were in the midst of the fight when a young lad came out. This is reported by Humayd ibn Muslim from the other side. We were in the midst of the fight when a young lad came out against us. His face was young like the first splinter of the new moon, and he carried a sword. He was wearing a shirt and a waistcloth and a pair of sandals, one of whose straps was broken. Umar ibn Sa'd ibn Nufail al-Azri said to me, "Let me attack him." I said, "Praise be to God. What do you want to do that for? Leave him while even one of the family of al-Hussein remains. That will be enough to take vengeance on you for his death." But he insisted, "By God, let me attack him." So he rushed against him and did not turn back until he had struck his head with his sword and split it in two. The young lad fell face downwards and called out, "O uncle!" At this, Hussein, peace be on him, shouted himself just like a hawk shows itself. He launched into the attack like a raging lion and struck Umar ibn Sa'd ibn Nufail with his sword. That man tried to fend off the blow with his arm, but his arm was cut off from the elbow, and he gave a great shriek which was heard by the people in the camps. As Hussein, peace be on him, turned away from him, the cavalry of Kufa attacked in order to save him, but they only succeeded in trampling him to death beneath the horse's hooves, and the dust rose. I saw al-Hussein, peace be on him, standing by the head of the young lad, looking at his feet, and Hussein, peace be on him, was saying, "May the people who have caused your death perish, for the one who will oppose them on the day of resurrection on your behalf will be your grandfather." Then he continued, "By God, it is hard on your uncle that you called him and he did not answer you, or rather he answered, but your cry was too late to help you. For by God, those who kill his relatives are many, but those who help him are few." Then he carried him in his arms. It is just as if even now I'm looking at two legs of the boy making marks as they trail on the ground. He took him and put him with his son, Ali ibn al-Hussein, peace be on him both, and the other members of the household who had been slain. I asked about the boy, and I was told that he was al-Qasim ibn al-Hassan, ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then, when nobody except a group of three members of his family was left with Hussein, peace be on him, he moved against the people while the three protected him until the three were killed. Hussein was left alone. Despite being weighed down by wounds in his head and body, he began to strike against them with his sword, and they scattered to right and left away from him. Then Humayd ibn Muslim said, "By God, I have never seen such persistence. His sons have been killed, and the members of his household and his followers, yet he is still as brave as ever, and he has not allowed his spirit to leave him. When the soldiers attack him, he fights back with his sword and scatters them to right and to left of him, like goats when a wolf comes upon them." When Shamr ibn Zaljushan realized the position, he called for the cavalry. He called for the cavalry to find one man. And they came up at the rear of the foot soldiers. He ordered the archers to shoot at Hussein, and they showered him with arrows until he became quilted with arrows like a hedgehog with his spikes. He drew back from them, and they stood facing him. His sister Zainab came to the door of the tent and called out to Umar ibn Sa'd, "Woe upon you, Umar ibn Sa'd! Is Abu Abdullah being killed while you are standing watching?" But Umar did not answer. Then she called out, "Woe upon you all! Is there not a Muslim among you?" But no one answered. Then Shamr ibn Zaljushan shouted at the foot soldiers and the cavalry, "Why are you waiting for the man? May your mothers be deprived of you." So they attacked him from every side. Zur'at ibn Shariq struck him on the left shoulder blade and cut into it. Another of them struck him on the shoulder. He fell prostrate on his face. Sanan ibn Anas al-Nakhai stabbed him with a spear and he was killed. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ.
Yeah.